God.
Well, good services and good revival make all preachers want to preach. Amen. I believe it was my Uncle Steve that said he knows good preaching when he heard it. But then he said good preaching will make a preacher want to preach. Amen. I don't matter if they're testifying or what they're doing. Amen. It'll make us want to preach. I just appreciate the Lord. My, what a great time we've had. I just think different things have been said about the Lord and how wonderful He is. And you know, you ever been to where the Lord do something? And it doesn't even have to be as dramatic as we think of, as a blinded eye being open, or the when Joshua and those priests stepped off in that Jordan River and hit dry ground. You know, sometimes we almost think that that's far-fetched, even, and we've grown up reading it all of our life because we've never come to the place where we had to have it at that extremity. But it's real, whether we want to believe it or not. But I thought of the Lord sometime. It's just that companionship that He is. It leaves you sometimes just thinking, wow, there's nobody like Him. Amen. And my mind went, I just marked it, not where I'm going to preach from. When the daughters of Jerusalem had the question, what is thy beloved more than another? What's this individual that you show so much love toward and so much emotion toward? What's the difference in anybody else? And from that, my description came forth that let them know you won't mistake Him when you meet Him. Amen? And a lot of the world today, you would like to know, why do you have to serve God the way that you do? But when you meet Him like we've met Him, when you know Him like we know Him, it leaves you without the wonder of why do they feel about Him the way that they do. Amen? Because He first felt that way toward me. The only way I know how to feel that way back toward Him. Amen. He first loved us. Amen. Thank God. Appreciate the Lord. I am thankful that our family's able to be here. And, you know, we've battled through the years of our children thus far at different times of having sickness. We very few times have ever had one get sick, and that's all it was. I just sometimes when it starts, it just kind of does its thing, and it just passes around. You know, don't leave anybody without and feeling left out. It normally gives everybody a little bit of it for the most part. But maybe it's just something minor, and we're going to just hopefully escape it. And but I am thankful that we're able to be back well as we are, and want the Lord to help us. Amen. I might have just a tad voice left, 45, 50, 55 minutes, maybe left. That'd be all right. No, I don't think I'll have, I might not take me that long, but I just want to thank you, man. I've enjoyed myself. I could say that over and over and maybe not really get it out, but I really have from my heart. I've just enjoyed this weekend. It's been a blessing. I love to preach. Amen, I do now. I didn't want to preach. I've got preachers up one side of my family and down the other, and they're all good preachers. Some of you know them, a lot of them. They're great preachers. And I didn't, you know, what the use in calling another one? You done got all of these. I didn't want to be a preacher. I wanted to just, I'd love going to church. I wanted to do things within the church. I'll do anything, but I just don't want to preach. Worst thing you ever do. Tell him, the one thing I don't want to do, Lord, is this. Okay, well, that's the only thing you're going to have to do. It won't let me, don't let me sing. All right, I never learned to play an instrument. I had to preach. Amen. So here we are. But I can tell you, once I finally surrendered, ain't nothing I'd rather do on this planet. Amen. Than to try to preach. Amen. But I found oftentimes that when we try to do what He's called us to do, He meets us in that moment. Amen. And I love Him for it. I love Him. I love the gospel. I love the preaching of the gospel. Amen. I love preachers. I love a commitment, a dedication to get this gospel to this world. Brother Clendon said, we owe this world nothing save the gospel, I believe he said, but we do owe them that. Amen. You might not owe them a lot of things, but we owe that world the gospel if we don't owe them anything else. And I want to do my part. Again, thank you, Brother Shane, Sister Kayla, even today still, just going out of their way to do things for us. And it doesn't go unnoticed, y'all. I'm just be honest. I don't know. You think of Southern hospitality is what they call it. I've not many Southern hospitality like I've got since I've been in Virginia. I ain't had many Georgia churches be this good to me. Amen. But you all just, man, you just went the extra mile to make us feel just welcome right at home. And I'll miss you all. I will. I like to say you guys. I hadn't been here long enough to talk like that. Amen. Amen. But I will. I will miss being here. This has been great. Our family needed this. My wife, myself, our children. It's just been perfect for our life. And I mean that now. I'm not just, it's not pulpit talk. It's from my heart. We've needed this, and it's been great. And hopefully down the road we all cross paths again. Amen. I've learned to love you all quick, and thank you for it. And to Brother Austin, amen, the message that he preached, I don't want to soon forget it. Amen. I know what he said about his time being blessed in the Word. Well, that feeling's mutual. I made mention of it. I told God I was sorry. I believe right there the other morning when he preached, I want to be what they're looking for. Amen. I don't want them to have to look beyond me to get the help that they need in this world. And when they look to me, I don't want to have to look around, y'all. What can I tell them? I want to have something to say in that hour. Amen. But God bless he and Sister Chris and their family. I'm grateful for folks that's willing to say, hey, this is what God wants us to be. We'll go wherever he calls us, wherever he sends us. And I do pray that they lose count of the souls that God gives them in their work. Amen. I mean that. Amen. Because as they win souls, that means my family gets bigger. Amen. That means the kingdom profits when they win folks to the cross. And I pray this church wins many souls for the kingdom. But again, thank you so much. And we do ask you to pray for us in the morning. They might want to do a lot of things. In the morning, I want to go to Georgia. Amen. Amen. Now, listen, if we were going another week, I'd be beside myself getting to preach. But now when it's over, isn't it? Amen. It's time to go home. Amen. I got a little place at home I call home. Amen. But no, it wouldn't be because I'm ready to get out of here, because I've enjoyed it. So God bless you. Thank you for everything. The handshakes, the monetary blessings some of you have just on your own have given. Amen. You know who you've been. You know what you've done. I do. I appreciate that. I do. Amen. I didn't get in this to get paid. Amen. Though sometimes the Lord uses this path to help us in that area of life. He does. But I do know this. They say Brother Duke Down said it one time out in California, you can't outgive God. Amen. So what you've given us, I do from my heart pray, God, give it back to them abundantly and above what they've given to us. Amen. So God bless you. Man, let's go to heaven. Amen. We're going to end this meeting tonight as far as us being here. Amen. I hope our target's still set on another shore. Amen. Some of you are older, some of you are younger, but we're all going somewhere in a little while. Let's make sure it's heaven. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. I've not put any of my family on the spot, and I'm not going to scare them to death when I say that. Amen. They're not very outspoken, and we are who we are. God knew what we were when he put us in this thing. Amen. And I'd just like for us to be us when we go and just do it the way that God's asked us to do it. God uses every group in a different way. Every one of us has got a little different way we do things. You know, as long as it's by God, though, it all works out. But I do love them. I'm just so glad they were with me this week. And just trust that God just continues to help us. Amen. Verse 1, amen, of Luke chapter 11. Then I think we'll probably touch a little bit in Matthew chapter 6. Go right along. Two different looks at this. But the Bible says, and it came to pass that he was, as he was praying in a certain place, when he seized one of his disciples, said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. You know, that's just like a little boy asking his daddy something that his daddy's good at. That little boy said, Daddy, teach me how to do that. You know, it just make a daddy proud. Oh, yeah, he's wanting to be like me. And I just feel like Christ in this moment when the disciples said, Lord, after that he prayed, they were so impressed by it, teach me to do that. I believe this in his heart. He just felt just a swelling up inside saying, they're getting it. They want to be like me. Amen. And he said this to them. And I want to touch in two places, but I'll read it in Luke first. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. I'm going to flip over to Matthew chapter 6 and look at this when Matthew writes. And you know, sometimes they may have just, you and I, some of you will leave here maybe tonight and say, well, what did he say at that certain place? And the two of you will tell the same story from a different direction. Amen. Both of you be right. Ain't that wonderful? Amen. Matthew said here in Christ writing, or speaking as Matthew writes, he said it, Matthew wrote it like this, and when thou prayest, boy, I like this, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. You ever been around them kind? Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But this is what I like, what Matthew caught out of the words that Jesus spoke. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And I believe really what he's saying is this, make this thing perfect. If you're going to talk to him, make it perfect. Make it just between you and him. Make it a personal experience when you talk to God. When thou hast shut the door, only when you've gotten alone with him. I'm talking about, you know, sometimes we pray together, we pray aloud, we hear what. But when you get serious with God, there's nothing like getting alone and saying, all right, God, it's just me and you. You know this isn't for a pat on the back. You know this isn't for somebody to brag on the style that I pray, on the sincerity, but this is just me and you. So I have nothing to prove, God. It's only us. That's what he was really saying. That when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Amen. And then he goes on down in verse 9, and then he begins to say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Then this is probably the one we're more comfortable when we recite it. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Then he says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank God. I want to look tonight as I read this, and as now maybe flip back over to Luke, but we get the gist, both of them very similar. But as he begins to teach them how to pray. Now, I remember one time when I was way younger, I don't, for whatever reason, didn't have a job or wouldn't go into work or whatever it was. I don't know, 19, 20-year-old young man. I'd went with my Uncle Steve Willingham. He's my pastor. He's retired from pastoring right now. But he's still my pastor. I just tell you, go always be my pastor, whether he's pastoring or not. And I went with him to an elder man in the church's house, an elder couple, very old. And we were there, and as it was always when he would go to visit, before he left, he'd have prayer with them. They didn't have to be sick or something of that sort. It was just he was their pastor. He wanted to have prayer with them before he went on about his daily business. And we got there that day, and I just knelt down along there with them. You know, I'm going to pray along with them. And that elder man, when he began to pray, Brother Shane, I just went quiet. I'd just be honest with you. I can't say it any other. I just quit praying. You know what? It wasn't because I didn't think I needed to talk to God. But when he began to pray, it caught my attention. You know, now y'all know where we're from. And Ray, that's where my uncle pastored. They've got about 2 stop signs and a post office and a railroad track. Amen. That's my home church. And so, you know, there's a reason we talk like we're from the backwoods. Amen. Because that's where we're from. Amen. But he started praying. And he said something along these lines of, Lord, from the first time I met you, I always thought you was the kindest gentleman I'd ever known. Well, I just quit praying right there. Hey, man, I thought a man could talk to God like that. It duped me to listen to this conversation. But you know, he talked to God
just like God sitting down on that chair with him. And he began to converse with God just like they were sitting across the table over a nice drink on a summer day. And to be able to talk to God in such a way had let me know to talk like he's talking. They'd met before today. They didn't just meet in this prayer meeting. They've got a relationship. And I've had people text me maybe or call or whatever and ask me, what was that your brother George Polk said when he prayed that day that you remembered? That's been now probably 20 to 25 years ago. And I still hold it fresh in my mind that a man could know our Heavenly Father in such a way that he talked to God like I talk to my friends. And you know, it impressed me. And I want to know God in that manner that I don't have to try to figure out, now, how do I talk to you or how do I converse with you? I want to talk to him like I'm talking to my friend. I want to converse with him like I'm talking to my friend. And the disciples listened to Christ as he talked to his Father. And they were so impressed by it that they said, that they began to ask Jesus, teach us how to do what you just did. Teach us how to talk to the Father the way that you just talked to the Father. Amen. And as John taught his disciples, in other words, they recognized John had taught his disciples how to carry themselves. And they recognized if John done such a thing, we're your disciples. They wanted to be like John, but we want to be like you. Amen. Don't you want to be like him? Amen. I've got certain mannerisms that some would say, we know who your pastor is. And some that have been here, not because of my quality of preaching, but I guess sometimes it's because of being wide open from start to finish. One lady said, you remind me of your Uncle Roger because of being so wide open that you don't take enough time to breathe sometimes. Amen. But you know what it is? It's people that we've been around. We have mannerisms like them. It's simply because, in a good way, they impacted us with their life. Amen. We've talked about Peter this weekend. Your speech bewrayeth you. You talk like him. Something about you reminds me of him. They'd have never asked, are you one of them? Except his life gave him away. Amen. But then when he begins to talk to them, he talked to us this way. When we go to the Father. And you know, this ought to be a daily occurrence that we would come to our Heavenly Father. Now, we don't have to kneel down and open up to Luke 11. We've all got our way of entering into prayer. Sometimes some people get down and they just kind of sit quietly for a space of time as they begin to just slow down to talk to God. Some open up with thanks. And that, to me, that's one of the greatest ways to ever get into a season of prayer, is to just kind of begin to thank Him for who He is. Thank Him for what He's doing. Thank Him of where He's brought us from. We all got the same story. We came from somewhere to Calvary, and from Calvary we're headed to heaven. Hey, our stories may be a little bit mixed up in between, but they all came to Calvary and from Calvary to heaven. Amen. And so when they begin to do this, He said, when you pray, say, our Father which art in heaven. In other words, let Him know I'm not asking my peers. I'm not going to my friends here. I'm not going to those who have authority, but I'm coming to my Heavenly Father. Let Him know I'm only here to talk to you. I'm only here to converse with you. Now, sometimes it takes us a while to get in there, because you may not be this way, but I have a lot going on in life a lot of times, feels like. And sometimes I have to sift that out little by little, because I've just sat there, and sometimes it can become so habit forming. Lord, thank you for the day. Thank you for another chance to kneel down to pray. And sometimes if we would write it down, we'd recognize all we're doing is reciting something we've memorized. We say the same thing every time. I don't have any problem with that a lot. You know, we do that a lot of times. At least we are praying. Whether it's one we've prayed so much, we say it over and over or not. But sometimes, you know, we open up with that. But the importance of continuing to pray sometimes is finally we get work through all the formalities of the introduction. And finally then we begin the fellowship with the Father. And we begin begin to talk to it. But he said, let him know who you're talking to. And let him know, you know where he's at while you're talking to it. He said, hallowed be thy name. In other words, I looked that up in one place. Maybe it said, to make holy. Let him know, I'm not just calling you Father to be calling you something. I'm calling you that because that's the holiest thing I know of to call you. It's my Father, which art in. I don't know anything greater to call you. If there was a greater word that my mind would know, then I'd call you that. But my Father, which art in heaven, that's the greatest thing I know to call you, Lord. And so it is that when we come to that, then we can begin to have fellowship with him. I heard this story told in one of these countries that's got emperors. I don't know who they are. I don't know. Sometimes we might be better off with an emperor than a president. I don't know. We don't have very many good ones, so I don't, you know, we had many good presidents. But if that being said, and that, you know, that's for neither here nor there, there was a little boy in a crowd of people, and he was, you know, fumbling through the crowd, I guess, and pressing and pushing, and finally somebody maybe got a hold of him and said, you can't go in there. That's where the emperor's at, and you're not allowed to go beyond this point, or whatever they were telling him. And they went on, and he's pressing and he's pushing. Finally, Pastor, I believe the story said, he finally came to the place and told them, to you, he's the emperor. To me, he's my Father. I'm not an intruder in that house. I'm not an intruder here today. And can I tell you and I, a lot of the world just looks at him like a figure of a great story. But that's not just a story to you and I. He's my Father. He's my Redeemer. He's my Lord. He's hallowed. He's in heaven. He's worth us worshiping and praising in our lives. Amen. And here's where it begins to get serious. A lot of people like to pray the asking prayer. Been guilty. And that doesn't mean we can't ask. But before he ever asked for anything, he told him, I know who you are, and I know where you are, and your name is hallowed, your name is holy. And then before he ever asked for anything, he said, thy will be done here as it is there. Amen. Now I'm going to tell you, a lot of times we love God as the prayer answerer, as the one who does everything we want him to do and does it exactly like we blueprinted out that we desire for him to do. But to be able to come to the place and let him know, but I'll accept it if it don't go the way I want it to. You said, but what kind of an example in scripture is there for that? Amen. If it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, thy will be done. Jesus didn't teach us to say something that he wasn't willing to say himself. He didn't want to die on that cross, but he was willing to die on the cross. You know why? In one place, and the psalmist even said it also, as a type of what our Christ would say, I delight to do thy will. Even when it's against my will, I'm happy doing your will. Even when it don't go the way I want it to, it does me good knowing it's going the way that he wants it to. Listen, a lot of people's made it look like when you get right in the middle of the will of God, you're just having a time of your life. They've never known the real will of God. Listen, and this is something I thought it's been years ago. The will of God is not always pleasurable. It cost Christ his life. It cost the Apostle Paul his life. What did it cost? 11 of the 12 disciples cost them all their lives. And the one that didn't cost him imprisonment, isolated on that Isle of Patmos. Amen. All these things they went through. But it ain't always pleasurable, but it is always profitable. It'll always land me where I'm supposed to be. It won't always use the route to get there that I want to go, but it'll always get me there at the time I need to be there. Amen. So being able to say, thou will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Amen. Christ was letting us know, this is how I get in contact with my Father. And you know, sometimes people say, well, what would you do with this situation? And you say, well, now this is what I would do. Well, they get mad at you. And all you can say, well, you ask. You're the one I didn't ask you to give my opinion. You asked me for it. But you know what angers them? You told them something contrary. And you know what they'll do a lot of times? They'll say, well, thank you. Brother Shane, what would you do? What you think's the best thing? And they'll ask, and if they don't get, if he tells them something contrary, they'll go to Brother Ott, and they'll just go all through the church, and finally somebody will say, this is what I would do. And they're allowed to be asked somebody that don't pray. They're allowed to be asked somebody that's not faithful to church. They'll ask somebody that never frequents the altar call, and they'll get the answer they were looking for, and they'll shout down the aisle thinking, thank God he finally got the answer that I needed. And all along, all they'd done was got what their flesh was looking for. But Jesus said, when you talk to my Father, you inquire of His will above all else. You ask Him for His direction above all else. For listen, when we lean on our own understanding, it'll go contrary sometime. That's why Solomon said, in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your paths. Amen. But then he begins to refer to give us, in Matthew, give us this day our daily bread. Now, I've carried on this weekend about how little I eat and how, you know, I don't really have a desire to eat a bunch. You know, it don't do you no good to try to eat a bunch when you really don't want to. But now, since I've been here, I've done a decent amount of eating. I don't think I've got to 140 over the weekend, but I might be pushing it. But that being said, just because I don't eat a lot doesn't mean I can just decide I'm not going to eat anything. Amen. I do have to eat. My rations might not be as much as others are, but this body still has to have food, and this body still has to have nourishment to survive. And Christ begins to talk to them and lets them know, when you're talking to him, don't be asking him about next year's blessings. Don't be asking him about something, not to say, God, lead me down the road. This something, best Brother Halston, he's an evangelist. I'd see nothing wrong with him saying, Lord, in the coming weeks, would you anoint the revivals? Would you give those places we're going a desire for a revival, that when we get there, they're already ready? I have no problem with that. Amen. That's not what I'm talking about tonight. But some people so worried about tomorrow that they forgot to get what was in store for them today. Some people can't hardly make it through Sunday for the sake of they're trying to already live in Monday, and they'll go through this whole day. Some have almost went through this whole revival and have yet to partake in what God really wanted us to have. But he said, when you talk to him, ask him, hey, I want you to help me down the road. But before I get out of this prayer meeting, I need what I need to make it through now. I need what I need to make it through the day. Why in the world would we try to bottle it up and preserve it when he's got that same amount ready tomorrow? That manna was a day-by-day blessing. And when they tried to take advantage of what was being provided, it ruined. Because he didn't want them making provisions of their own for down the road. He wanted them to trust that he was Jehovah Jireh. He wanted them to trust that he would make provisions for them down the road. Have we ever tried to help God set up yet tomorrow? Have we ever tried to help God know that this is really how you need to work it for me, Lord? This is really where you need to go with this thing. But he said, when you ask of it, just ask him for today. You say, but my, I like to go ahead and ask him for tomorrow. Well, sometimes we're not careful. All we've done today when we ask for tomorrow has excused us from having a current relationship with God. But if you only ask for one day at the time, that means if you want something tomorrow, you're going to have to go talk to him again. And you're going to have to go spend time with him again. What it does for us, it causes us to have a daily prayer life. It causes us to have a daily relationship with God. When you only ask for one day at the time, you can't live a week without him. And you can't live a month without him. You got to go back tomorrow for tomorrow's blessing, because you've already used up yesterday's. Amen. Had a little boy of mine. My wife bought some Dunkin' Donuts. Some of them with pink icing and sprinkles, some with white. First thing, buddy, boom. He didn't want his burger. He wanted that donut. He eat a little bit on it, and he didn't want no more. It wasn't but just a few minutes. He wanted another donut. I got to noticing. I looked over there, and there's a whole circle donut. And the whole top of it was ate off. He wasn't eating donuts. He's eating icing. Amen. Till we finally had to just put the stop sign on them. That's it. Ain't be no more donut eating. Amen. He's going to eat them all up. Them things will be profitable tomorrow, headed back to Georgia. But if I led Lincoln, he's going to eat the icing off of every one of them right here today. Thank God, going to use it all up. And tomorrow he's going to want a snack, and there won't be anything there. He's done wasted it all. Amen. But now if I don't let him have one, and tomorrow he said, Daddy, I'd like to have a donut. I said, I got you one, buddy. Right here's your one. Been waiting on you with it. Amen. But I want to look a little further than that tonight. Amen. Then just looking at it as it's just a little bit of a get by to get me through the day. When he said that, give us today by day our daily bread. Amen. That when I ask God for that, if you've ever read it before in the book of John chapter 6, Jesus is talking. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, this is verse 47, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. But then he makes a short phrase in verse 48. And says, I am that bread of life. Amen. And then you begin to think on that. And you say, well, that ain't how I put it together. Well, that's all right. We're not required to be the same. But this is what he said. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. They ate those things that were temporary. But it wasn't something that would give them eternal life. It was to get them through what they were going through. It was to get them past what they were facing. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread, amen, which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. So I begin to think about this saying, as John records Jesus saying, I am that bread of life. I am the one that makes a difference when nothing else will. And then you remember in what we call the Lord's Prayer, he said, when you pray, pray our Father. In other words, he didn't say pray my Father, and he didn't say pray his Father. He said pray our Father. We share that with Christ, our Heavenly Father. Amen. And he told him, when you ask him to give us this day our daily bread. And then in where I read to you in John, he said, I am that bread. In other words, he's saying, when you ask my Father for something, it's all combined. All you really got to do, ask him for me. Ask him for me. Amen. Some of you ever remember. Amen. Ever remember when you were young? I loved my pawpaw more than I loved life itself. Amen. I told y'all about this finger that I like to have cut off when I was just a boy. That's about the second or third or fourth grade when I like to have cut this finger off. Amen. Now I showed my wife, now you can just move in. I don't even know what's got it holding on now other than hide. It looks like it's just going to come off. I don't know. Amen. But that being said, that we were there and I cut that finger with a razor blade and they sewed it around, stuck a pin through the end of it to hold it on. Amen. And when I left that emergency room or that area that night, I was told I couldn't go home and spend the night with my pawpaw. Amen. Finger nearly cut off and all. It has upset me. Why? I wanted to be where he was. I wanted to go where he went. I wanted to do what he was doing. Amen. But you know what we used, what we've done when we were younger, when we'd want to go home with our grandparents and they'd say, well, go ask your mom or daddy and see if they'll let you come. What would we do? We'd say, well, You go ask them. If you'll ask mama, she'll let me go. If you'll ask daddy or a cousin, say, hey, you want to go play with us? And you say, you go ask them. And they'll let me go. And Jesus said, ask him, give us this day our daily bread. Really what he was telling me was, if you'll go ask our Father, he'll let me go. If you'll go ask him, he'll let me go where you go. Amen. So when you know you're going through a storm, You know, you can ask a lot of people, hey, you want to go with me to chemo treatments? But Jesus said, just ask him. Let me go. Give me today what I need. Give me the bread for chemo treatments. He said, and if you'll ask him, he'll let me go with you. Amen. No wonder he could say, I'll go with you always, even to the end of the world, because he knew when I asked my heavenly Father that he would look at his only begotten Son and say, they're asking for you to go, and I'll let you go because they asked for you. Thank God. You know what it was when you were a child and you let somebody go and you ask, hey, can so-and-so go home with me? You know who it made happy? Me and so-and-so. Amen. Didn't matter who it was, a friend from school or my cousins or somebody that was a good buddy of mine. But can I tell you, when we ask our heavenly Father, can Jesus walk with me through this valley? It don't just make me happy. It makes Jesus happy that I've invited him to go on my journey, that I've invited him to go through my storm. Why did he show up in that fiery furnace? Because he was invited to go. He didn't tell Nebuchadnezzar what was going to happen. They did. He's able to deliver us from this fire. But he is going to deliver us from your hands. Ooh. In other words, we've done ask for help. He's coming. You ever sent in something? You know, you can put in now on Amazon or some of these other things. Man, there's so many different things to order on now. My wife's got Venmo. People's got PayPal. I just let her set it up, and I just hit buy and hope, you know, and hope it goes through the right system. I don't know how to do all of that. I just know how to put it on buy, and then I'll check its tracking after that. Amen. But if you ever, but all along the way, it might send me some type of a notification that it's a little bit late, and maybe it's past the time that I've paid money for it to be here at a certain time. It's not going to make it. And after a certain amount of days, they let me know it, you know, that you can just cancel the order, and it'll, however all that process works out. What I'm getting at is here, sometime I put faith in a system that they're going to give me what I ask for at a reasonable time, and they forsake me and they let me down. But I've never been through a storm that I said, my Father, would you give me this day my daily bread, that I didn't have Jesus walking by me, that I didn't have my dearest friend standing by my side, and he wasn't there begrudgingly, and he wasn't discouraged and upset to be there. It was his good pleasure to walk through my storm. In the book of Daniel, I don't read of him sitting in the corner with his arms folded and his lip poked out. Why'd I have to come here? But Nebuchadnezzar say, I see four of them walking. In other words, he's just as free in the fire as I am. Amen. He's doing just as much in the fire as I am. Why? Because I wanted him to be there. Apostle Paul is on a storm, in a storm, in a shipwreck. It looks like everybody on the boat's going to die. When is it that we find a great report from the Apostle Paul? After that the angel of the Lord has stood by me this night. Amen. Now I got a good report for you, folks. I prayed, and guess what happened? You know what I believe he was asking? Give us what we need in this storm, God. Give us what we need in this circumstance. And he said, and when I asked him, he stood by me. He didn't just speak to me. He said he stood by me. He got on the boat with me. Them disciples are scared to death. Somewhere between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning. And he says, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter snaps to attention. I wonder, somewhere on the backside of Peter's heart was a man bucketing water out of a boat that looks like it's going to sink in a storm, saying, please send us help. Please don't let us die in this storm. And about that time, the most familiar voice that he knew says, it is I. Be not afraid. Amen. I know he inquires, if that's you bidding me walk, oh, come to you on the water. Amen. But I believe his heart knew who it was. He just wanted that confirmation. Amen. Some of you have been no different than Peter. You know it was him when the preacher was preaching, but you like to kneel down the altar and just get right on in there a little closer and watch you and say, God, I know you parted my heart. are. But I want to know if you'll just go ahead and lead me right on in there where you want me to be. I know you're talking to me. And before you know it, right in the middle of the storm, you're with Christ. Why? Because in that prayer, in that desperate place, all you said was, "Our Father, give us this day our daily bread." And he did. Amen. So where we are today, every day, I need Christ in my life. I'm getting ready to close. And John told us, when Jesus spoke, the things of this life that we use. Listen, I could go tonight and eat 2 double cheeseburgers. I probably won't, but I could. Sometimes I don't eat it. It's not because I couldn't. It's just because I don't want to. But I could. But you know what I got to do tomorrow? It don't matter how much I eat today. I could gorge myself out tonight. But at some point tomorrow, I'm going to need to eat. As far as what I'm going to feel like I'm needing to eat. Well, how in the world is it then that sometimes in our walk with God that we think that I have to have at least 1 meal a day? Every day. But then sometimes we go days and possibly weeks, sometimes even months, without a good, genuine encounter with God. That we ask Him. You know why sometimes we feel so famished? We hadn't eaten bread in a few days. Because Christ said, I have to be partaken of daily. I have to be used daily. His mercies are renewed when? Every morning. I have to get them every day. I have to go to end tomorrow. I'm not going to be able to say, boy, you touched me Sunday in that revival. I got to have a touch tomorrow. It's not that God's grace is not enough, but the way He set the system up was He wanted us a daily relationship with me. He don't want an occasional praise. He don't want an occasional prayer. He don't want an occasional worship, but He wants every day for His Father to tell Him. They're asking for you again. They're wanting more fellowship with you again. And so it was. You know when it was that those men on the road to Emmaus got their greatest blessing? When they invited Him into where they were. He made Himself available. Somebody come. I'm quitting. He made Himself available. But then He waited on an invitation. He walked with them. He talked about Himself. In other words, hey, y'all, what more can I say other than, hey, I'm Christ? Their hearts begin to wonder and ponder, Brother Austin, because then later they say, did not our hearts burn within us? So they knew. I wonder from time to time they looked at each other and thought, who is it? Who is he? He's not from where we're going. He's not from Emmaus. But when they said, sir, we welcome you as a guest. Thank you for dropping in. Why don't you say grace over the meal? And I wonder when he picked up that bread. I wonder if one of them on their way back to tell the disciples, because you know they're not, it was too late for him to go on. But after they recognized who he was, it was now no longer too late to go talk about what happened. Amen. I wonder if one didn't leave there that night with a bruise on his shin, where he kicked him under the table saying, look, did you just see what I just saw? Amen. Amen. You ever been in that place and wonder, did nobody just feel what I just felt? Did nobody just recognize what I just recognized? I've said about my mama, we're fixing to stop and we're going to close out this meeting. I know after we pray, but my mama used to be one. It didn't matter from the first time I remembered all the way to an elk laying on her deathbed. I watched it happen. I watched her almost all the way down to the final breath that she breathed. I watched as heaven would pay her a visit, and she still was so sensitive, even as death had grabbed hold of that mortal body. From time to time, that inward man would quake and move, so much so that that mortal body would shake. Amen. But I've noticed before that the service would be going, and before anybody else get excited, those shoulders would begin to roll. You ain't never been around it. You just don't know. Them shoulders of that little hole in the businesswoman would begin to roll, and I could look and recognize. I'd know then, well, the Holy Ghost is here. Nobody else knows it yet, but she does. You know why she knew he was there? She was looking for him when she got there. She was longing to feel that when she got there. And you know how you and I know when he gets here that I'm not looking at my watch. I'm not looking at the window to see if it's dark or not. But when I come through the door, I'm longing and wondering, is he here yet? Is he looking for me? Is he come to touch me yet? What in the world was Shadrach doing? He was looking for him the whole time. Amen. And when you look for him, you find him. I've already referenced that one time as we stand. When you search for him with your whole heart. I've been as guilty as anybody of attending altar calls and kneeling down, praying. But then I've also had times when I've knelt down and I prayed. You said, well, you said to, it's like this. Brother Ed So Young told me one time, I went to the Caribbean with Uncle Roger Luke on a mission trip. And they singing some of the same songs that some of the modern churches here sing. And they people just tears are running down their face and they're singing them. They're just crying, weeping, singing. And Brother Austin, I just kind of got away with me. I'm just watching them. So wrapped up in that song and worshiping. And some of the churches back home says, you get away from that. Because we've watched the modern church use it as a performance. And they get up and it's more about the beat and more about the sway and more about the reaction than it is to just simply sing it to him. The modern church sings it to them. But the true worshiper sings it to him. Amen. And I watch them people in Guyana. They're living in shacks and huts and what we store our lawnmowers in. And tears are running down their faces. They're singing, how great is our God. He's a name above all names. And there's tears flowing and running. I asked Brother Etzel, he's our general superintendent of our movement. I asked him about it. I talked with him. And this is his words to me. He said, sometimes we sing the words, but sometimes we sing the song. There's a difference. Well, I feel him now. Sometimes we pray the words, but sometimes we pray the prayer. My Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. In other words, this isn't about me, God. It's all about you. And I know you know who you are. But I want you to know I know who you are. Thank God. And all I ask of you is to give of me of that you're able to provide that only you can provide. And what is that, God? Your Son, Jesus Christ. I ask you for nothing more than just give me Jesus. Just give me Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He's the answer of the hour. He's the answer to this generation. He's the answer for revival. Just give us Jesus. Would you meet me in this altar tonight? And could we come ask our Heavenly Father, would you give me Jesus day by day as I walk through this life? Everybody that can and will, would you come? Hallelujah. 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 Oh, give me this day. Give me him for today.